And yes, we welcome Dave Hall, percussion instructor at Central Michigan University. How about that for an introduction?
Well, good to be here, Judy. That's quite a selection of percussion excerpts, yes.
That was part of the Grand Serenade for an Awful Lot of Winds and Percussion by P.D.Q. Bach.
I remember playing some of his stuff as early as high school, and I remember dumping that pile of metal objects that you heard at the end there.
I think awful is the operative word there.
Yes, yeah. We try to think of, well, percussion is music. It does make noise sometimes, but when we play it properly, it gets beautiful music.
And it is April 1st.
Right, so you had to do that.
I had to do that.
I'm glad you did. It brought me way back.
And before that, we heard the percussion excerpt from Benjamin Britten's The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra.
Yes. Well, of course, playing for children is super important, but that features a good variety of what we do in percussion, from melodic to skinned drums and timpani. So good variety there.
And you're with us today because tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Staples Family Concert Hall on the CMU campus, the percussion ensemble is presenting a concert.
Yes, this is the third concert we're here, and I'm very excited about this program. We are collaborating sort of across the school. We have a graduate student, Sepper Periste, who's written a five-movement work that features a piano soloist, so we'll be beginning with that. Second is a Hollandin quartet, real classic piece that will really be fantastic in terms of unison playing. And then the third piece on the first half is Cloud Folk by New Zealand composer Jonathan Sothis. Tremendous work that was just premiered over a year ago. And so the student's been really working hard on that. And our guest artist on the second half is Leah Ivory from Grand Rapids. She is a wonderful pianist and singer, but she knows a whole lot about West African drumming and playing the djembe. So she's been sharing the tradition of music from Guinea with the students on the second half. So it's going to be really something you can get up and move to on the second half.
That sounds really nice. Now, Dave, many ensembles have a prescribed instrumentation. Like we have a string quartet, two violins, viola, cello, brass quintet, two trumpets, horn, trombone, mm-hmm. tuba, a wind ensemble, one on each part, a choral group, maybe a small choral group, maybe, you know, eight on a part or something, you know, prescribed instrumentation. What about a percussion ensemble? What is a percussion ensemble?
Well, we're never bored in the percussion
ensemble.
That's for
sure.
I mean, percuss means to strike. So anything that you might strike with your hands or strike together with a stick can be percussion. So we do everything from beautiful marimba orchestras that play traditional overtures that were written for orchestra, from playing just using our hands, doing clapping music by Steve Reich. Everything in between, you know, clay pots, a mixture of all these instruments. So, for instance, tonight in the second half is all drums, you know, of various sizes with some cowbells and intricate rhythms. And then on the Cloud Folk, we've got two or three marimbas and vibes and some bells. And then we're also having timpani that's kind of playing a bass line along with the piano. So the wonderful thing about being a percussionist is that you're never bored. I mean, I don't have anything against a trumpet player who has their trumpet, and sometimes they play a piccolo trumpet or whatnot. But and that's also the challenge with percussion, is there's a lot of techniques to be learned. So you have to be organized and decide, you know, what you're going to spend your time on. It really runs the gamut. It's really incredibly diverse, and that's what makes it exciting for a lot of these young players.
Yes, a trumpet player or a violinist plays pretty much, you know, one instrument, or one at a time anyway.
Right.
And, you know, they're playing a concert, they play their trumpet, they might pick up the piccolo trumpet or whatever. But the percussionists, it's always fun to watch them because they're so busy. It's so visual and so physical, too. Last night, I was at the Staples Family Concert Hall to see The Quietest of Whispers, to experience that concert, the music by Dr. Evan Ware. Mm-hmm. And there were three percussionists, and they were busy. I was watching them, you know, strike the timpani, put down the mallets, go over, prime the the yeah. gong, you know, all of
make
that.
Make a beeline for
yeah,
the next instrument.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah. very quietly, too, and right. and to do all of those things. And it's funny because afterwards I was talking with one of the percussionists, and I said, wow, you guys have to play so many different instruments. He said, yeah, you know, sometimes I look at the folks that just have to play one, and I think, I wish I can do that.
Well, percussionists.
The grass is always greener, I
yeah,
guess.
You know, we're used to sharing things, sharing space, sharing instruments, sharing music, so... we learn how to get along with each other and other people. And so setting things up in the right place is real advantageous because if you have only so much time to get there, you have to make that work.
When you do watch a percussion section or an ensemble, you see all of this hardware on stage. And some of it is, you know, kind of out there, like, you know, car brake drums or things like this, all of
sure.
these different things that could, you know, make noise if they are struck in some way. And there's so many different things. How do percussionists learn what to do?
Well, some of these are prescribed specifically by the composer. You know, for instance, I think you mentioned the water phone.
Yes, I saw that last night. I'd never seen that before.
It's a mostly enclosed bowl with water in it and then some metal, so I guess you could call them spikes. Coming up,
mm-hmm.
and then they're bowed with maybe a cello bow, and it gives an eerie, warbly sound that actually is used in the popular musical Wicked, like when the Wicked Witch is melting, that's sort of her cue. So, you know, somebody made that instrument up. I think you have people that are non-percussionists that have created some wonderful instruments for us, and then you have composers that are looking for sounds that are not the normal snare drum, bass drum, cymbals. So found sounds would be the term for instruments that, you know, for instance, people might use paper, folding it, tearing it, crumpling it, you know, in their piece. So anything that makes a sound can be considered a percussion instrument. And so you have to be very creative as a percussionist to determine what's the best sound, what's the right stick to use, how are you going to strike the instrument. So creativity is very important as a percussionist in order to really achieve those sounds you're looking for.
Well, most other instrumentalists play, you know, one line of notes mm-hmm. that looks like, you know, a line of musical notes on a staff. With percussionists, does it say, take a piece of paper, crumple it up, rip it into a million pieces and make this noise? Is that what it says in the part?
Well, for instance, I mean, if you're playing a tambourine part mm-hmm. from Carnival Overture, it doesn't say how to strike it, where to strike it, shake, roll, thumb roll. So again, the creativity has to come from the performer. You know, what's going on in the rest of the ensemble, short notes, long notes, character, style. So you make your decisions on the sounds that you make based on that. Sometimes it's like learning a new ballet every time you have a multiple percussion setup of a variety of instruments around you. You have to learn where something is spatially around you. But on the page, there's a variety of notation techniques that composers use that, you know, aren't just the regular notes on the staff. They have different, you know, X's and diagonals and triangles and in a different spot on the staff. So you're really learning almost to read partially a new language or maybe a new dialect of a language that you're somewhat familiar with each new piece, especially on multiple percussion pieces with lots of instruments. So there are a lot of challenges, you know, beyond just, you know, maybe reading one line on the treble clef or the bass clef.
And a percussionist has to know it all.
Well, you know, the basics is, what's most important is to have a good baseline, of knowledge on all the areas of percussion. And then you typically find your passion in one area, whether it's, you know, marimba or drum set or tabla or a timpani, and then you gravitate towards that and spend more time on that. But you should have basic understanding of all the areas of percussion.
For folks who come to Staples Family Concert Hall tomorrow at 7:30 to see the CMU Percussion Ensemble, what do you think is the most unusual or maybe kind of the wackiest instrument that they will see tomorrow? Anything really different?
Yeah, there's some, they're brake coils that would come from like the suspension of a car. So if you can imagine a thick piece of metal coiled up and hanging, they'll be striking that. Along with the brake drums, those are, you know, real metallic sounds. Trying to think, we have traditional drums on the second half. That would be the most unusual I can think of at the moment, sure.
And to experience a percussion ensemble concert, it's so visual, too. I mean, it's fun to listen to that, but to see what's going on, to see all of that hardware on stage and to see the musicians doing that ballet, you know, going back and forth between the different instruments is really quite an experience.
Yes, we'll have that going on for sure in several of the pieces moving from instrument to instrument. Sometimes you even grab your music and sticks, you know, with you and run over there instead of, you know, setting everything up right in front of the instrument. But, yeah, there'll be some good movement in the second half with the African drumming. We'll hopefully be moving together in a little bit of a dance, so that'll be nice.
Nice. So percussionists also have to be in good shape.
yeah, that definitely is a plus.
Well, speaking of African drumming, we have an excerpt of what may happen tomorrow.
Right. I think this is Kudani, which was composed by Mamadé Keita, and this is a tribute to his grandmother, actually, who he never met, but he felt like he really knew. So this, we could play it and maybe talk about it.
Let's listen to a little bit of this African drumming. A little bit of African drumming there. Dave, can you tell us what that's all about?
Sure. I just want to correct, that was actually Janza, not Kudani, but this piece is from the Mali and Kayes region. The tradition is to have a set of dun drums, a sangban, kenkene, and dunumba, small, medium, large drums, and they're like a cylindrical drum, double-headed, with a bell on top of the shell. So you, with one hand, you're playing a complex figure on the bell, and with your other hand, you're using a stick to strike the drum head, either with a dead stroke or open tone. So they set up kind of the underlying feel of the piece. And then the djembes, which is sort of like a half of an hourglass-shaped drum, is played by multiple other players. And they can do popular rhythms together, or they can do group figures or solo work. So we have Leah Ivory from Grand Rapids, and she's like fully trained in the Tam Tam Mandinge school and certified to really express and share these oral traditions from West Africa, Guinea specifically, with other musicians. So she's been up here about three or four nights over the last couple months, teaching the students these rhythms, and we're really looking forward to playing a couple pieces together and with her tomorrow night.
How many students in the percussion ensemble?
I would say about 13 this semester. It varies anywhere from that number up to 18, I would say. So,
Dave, why should folks come out tomorrow night at 7:30 and come to Staples Family Concert Hall to see the CMU Percussion Ensemble?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we have some wonderful students that have worked really hard. Some of them are playing on every single piece on the program, and they've put their heart and soul into it. They have grown just in the last 2 months from maybe not being able to play some of this at all to really mastering their parts. We have a wonderful variety of music that I think will inspire you and take you places that you don't normally see on a day-to-day basis. That's why we go hear new music. It opens up our mind and takes us to places we haven't been. So wide variety of West African music on the second half that you can get out of your seat and move if you want to, and some other tremendous music on the first half, including brand new music that has not even been heard in Michigan, especially the premiere by our grad student and this cloud folk by New Zealand composer Jonathan Sothis.
Well, I plan to be there, and I hope lots of other folks come too. Not only will it be a great musical experience, but again, you know, you have this whole visual and the get up and dance part of it too. So
sure, that stage will be covered with instruments on the first half for sure.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun to see. So thank you so much for all you do, and thank you for guiding those students through all of their learning and their performing of this wonderful music. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been my pleasure to be here today, Judy, and yes, I certainly working with the wonderful and dedicated students at CMU.